There's this girl named Mary.
She loved God and she loved to clean stuff up.
But one day, an angel appeared.
Mary was so surprised
and kind of scared.
But the angel said, "Don't be scared, you're going to have a baby."
And then Mary said, "How can I have a baby? I'm not married."
But the angel said,
"It's all right.
The baby will be God's son, Jesus."
Mary was supposed to marry a guy named Joseph.
She said to him, "Look, I'm going to have a baby."
Joseph was pretty surprised, too,
because he didn't know how to be a dad.
But he wanted to take good care of the mom and the baby.
Right before the baby was going to be born,
Joseph and Mary had to go on a long trip
to a town called Bethlehem.
But it was okay,
because Joseph made sure that Mary didn't have to walk by herself.
But when they got to Bethlehem,
so full of people.
Nobody had room for them.
They tried one place.
They didn't get other place.
At the last place, the guy started to say no.
Then he said, "Wait, I've got a place for you out back.
But you gotta be okay with animals."
There weren't even any beds.
But it was nice and warm.
When Mary had Jesus,
they wrapped him in cloth
and put him in the animal food dish.
No one else knew about Jesus yet.
But there were some shepherds just outside of town.
And some angels showed up.
The shepherds were like, "Oh no, what's happening?"
But the angel said, "Don't be scared.
I have something really, really awesome to tell you.
God's son Jesus has been born.
He's in Bethlehem. He's all wrapped up in a blanket."
The shepherds were super excited.
So they got everyone together and ran to find Jesus.
They were really glad when they found the right place.
They were like, "Is this where Jesus is?" And Mary let them come in.
And they even got to hold and cuddle the baby.
Sometime later, some kings were living far away from baby Jesus.
But God sent them a special star.
The kings followed the special star a long way.
A really long way.
A really, really long way.
The star showed the kings right where Mary and Joseph and baby Jesus were.
They even brought special presents for baby Jesus.
Then everybody had a big party,
because they were so glad that God sent baby Jesus.
That night was the best night ever.
It was the best night ever.
It was the best night ever.
Best night ever.
Not only was it the best night ever, it is the greatest story that has ever been told. You see, this holiday season, we get wrapped up, literally, pun intended. We get wrapped up in the gift giving and the Black Friday sales and the decorations and, you know, going to see Santa Claus and pretending like we're not lying to our kids when we tell them that this is, just kidding. Not going to go there. But the real reason why Christmas is amazing, it's not because of the presents and the decorations and the traditions. It's because of who was born on Christmas Day. Right, and we've been looking at this Christmas story the last couple of weeks, and we've called this a not-so-cookie-cutter Christmas, because the reality is this story isn't a quaint little story. It's not a story that's a happy story. This story is filled with struggles and with challenges, and the people that lived this story out went through some of the most amazing circumstances that one could live through. And today we're gonna be brief. We're gonna read a couple passages of scripture, and we're gonna read this Christmas story and see what really took place on the day Jesus was born. We're going to begin our reading in Matthew chapter 1, beginning in verse 18. And the scriptures record this. It says, "This is how Jesus, the Messiah, was born. His mother, Mary, was engaged to be married to Joseph, but before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her fiancé, was a good man and did not want to disgrace her publicly, so he decided to break the engagement quietly. And as he considered this, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream." The reason why this was so significant is because in this day and time, when two people were engaged, it was a legal contract. And if the woman had become pregnant before they were married and was pregnant by a man who was not her fiance, this would be considered adultery. And adultery in this time was a crime punishable by death. And so here Joseph had a decision to make. This woman who's now pregnant by someone who is not him, he is not the father, she's become pregnant, and he has to decide, is this disgrace for me large enough for me to cast her out and literally put her to her death? And he says, no. But he has this conflict, this tension within himself. And as he's considering his options, the angel of the Lord appears to him in a dream. And he says, "Joseph, son of David," the angel said, "do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit. And she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." And all of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. "Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, and he did as the angel of the Lord commanded and took Mary as his wife, but he did not have sexual relations with her until her son was born. And Joseph named him Jesus. Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 20. It says, "At that time, the Roman Emperor Augustus decreed that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. This was the first census taken when Quirinius was governor of Syria. All returned to their own ancestral towns to register for this census. And because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. And he traveled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee. And he took with him Mary, his fiancée, who was now obviously pregnant." Now, in history, we often remember Mary. Why? Because she's the mother of Jesus, and there are denominations of Christianity that uphold her, that lift her up almost to the point of being a deity herself. They exalt Mary as being this incredibly blessed woman, and she is, for being the mother of Jesus. But Joseph not only saves Mary's life by not casting her out and breaking off the engagement, but he travels roughly 70 miles on rocky, mountainous terrain, at best by cart, at worst by donkey or on foot, with a woman who is obviously pregnant. Now, if you're a husband in here, and your wife has been obviously pregnant at one time or another, and you've traveled by car over an extended period of time or period of miles, you will know that that is not an easy task, right? That's not an easy task, to take a travel like that with all the bathroom breaks and all the constant uncomfortable repositionings. And if hormones have anything to say about it, that can be a little strenuous, intense. And that's with shock-absorbing wheels and a car with padded seats, right? Here, Joseph doesn't have any of that. And he goes with his wife, Mary, who is pregnant, on the 70-mile journey, the 70-mile treacherous journey. If Mary is blessed because she's the mother of Jesus, then I think Joseph is a saint for enduring all of that, right? Then we have to give this guy credit because he went through some incredible stuff. We'll continue. Verse 6, and he says, while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her first child, a son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger. This is a food trough, a food dish, the greatest circumstance for a mother and her child, because there was no lodging available for them. That night, the shepherds were staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David, and you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger." And suddenly the angel of the Lord was joined by a vast host of others in the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased." And when the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was a baby lying in the manger. And after seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and that the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. But Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, and it was just as the angel had told them. John chapter 1 says, "In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God, and God created everything through him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. And that light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. God sent a man, John the Baptist, to tell about that light so everyone might believe because of his testimony. John himself was not the light. He simply was a witness to tell about the light. The one who is the true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He came into the very world he created, but the world didn't recognize him. He came to his own people, but they rejected him. Why? Romans 3, 11 and 12. Because no one is truly wise. No one is seeking God. All have turned away. All have become useless. No one does good, not a single one of us. Romans 3:23, and the reason is because everyone has sinned and has fallen short of God's glorious standard. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And why did Jesus come that day? John 3:16, for this is how God loved the world, that he gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. But to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become the children of God. God, who created the universe and formed everything we see and know with his hands, he did so through his Son. Nothing that was made was not made by the Son of God. He created everything in perfect harmony, and he blessed everything he created, and he created us, mankind, into perfect relationship with him. But yet, we turned our backs on him. We rejected him when our first parents went into rebellion and chose to go their own way. And at that point, sin entered into the world, and death was passed to all mankind. Every one of us are born to die. And so now in this life as we live, we don't get to enjoy the life God prepared when he created this world. No, we get to live in a life that is in the presence of great suffering. And everyone here today, in some form or fashion, has experienced or endured suffering. None of us are exempt. We suffer because we sin. We sin because we're sinners. None of us have it in us to become good all on our own. And this is why we are separated from God. We don't have it in us to even seek God out. Scripture says that if God didn't reveal himself to us, we wouldn't even go looking for him. And some of you are here today. You may say you don't even believe in God, or you may say you believe in God, but you just live like he doesn't exist. He doesn't really cross your mind through the day, and you don't consider him in your decisions and how you live your life. You are, in essence, far from God, separated. And because you're separated, you are living under the curse of death in this world. And this very reason is why the Son of God came to take on the form of his very own creation, to be born as a human child. He loved us so much that he pursued us when we were running from him. He loved us though we hated him. He suffered for us though we turned our backs on him. And he died and rose again so that we could be forgiven and raised to life with him. So now, all who accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior can be forgiven and restored to an unparalleled relationship with God again through their faith in Jesus Christ. And when you accept him, Scripture records in Romans chapter 8, verse 1, you are no longer guilty, for there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. You are no longer guilty of your sins because the blood of Christ will wash them away. And this Christmas can be a not so cookie cutter Christmas. This Christmas can be the Christmas where you receive the greatest gift of all, the gift of eternal life through placing your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And you may say, well, Pastor Joey, how do I do that? How do I accept Jesus as my Savior? Well, the scripture says simply, through prayer and faith. You confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and you will be saved. And if you've never had a time in your life where you have accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, or you've prayed to ask him to come into your life and to forgive you of your sins, I'm going to ask you right now in this moment to pray this prayer with me. If we could bow our heads and we could close our eyes. If you've never accepted Christ as your Savior here in this moment, that you pray this with me and you believe in your heart, say this with me. Say, Father in heaven, I know I'm a sinner, and my sin has separated me from you. Please forgive me. I believe in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's in Jesus I place my hope. He is now my Lord and Savior. Take me, Lord. I'm yours, now and forever. Amen. If you prayed that prayer today, if you accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, Scripture says that the old is now past and all things are now made new, that you are now a new creation as God has sent his Holy Spirit into your life. And this is why, as Christians, we get baptized to symbolize that the old has become dead with Christ in the grave and we are now raised to new life in Christ. And so in just a moment, I'm going to ask you, when we pass the offering, if you have your worship guide with you, if you prayed and accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you would take a second and fill out that worship guide and on the back mark on there that you accepted Christ today, we want to begin praying with you as you begin your faith journey. We want to begin praying with you as you begin following in Jesus Christ, and we want to be a spiritual support for you today. And we rejoice with you if you made that decision. But one of our core values at Vertical Life Church is crazy generosity. We hold this in high regard, and there are many ways to be generous. But one of the big ones here at our church is being generous with time. And as we talk about giving this Christmas, and while I'm going through this, Luke, would you mind raising the lights one more time? Raising the lights in the auditorium. As we talk about giving gifts this Christmas, as a leader in the church, one of the greatest gifts we could receive is the gift of the people of the church coming together to dedicate themselves in serving. This is what makes our ministry function. This is how we're able to do what we do week in, week out. This is how our ministry succeeds, as our people come together in unity for a purpose. And we have an incredible group of volunteers at Vertical Life Church. And so as leaders, today, we would like to recognize you. We would like to recognize you for all the hard work and everything that you've put into making Vertical Life Church a success. And so I'm going to call out the name of our ministries. And if you serve in that ministry, I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet so that you can be recognized today. All right? So right now we have our V-Life Kids Ministry. If you serve in the V-Life Kids Ministry, please stand to your feet. Let's give them a hand. Everybody, yes. All right, you can be seated. How about our nursery? We have our nursery volunteers. Yes, these people need a high five also. That's what I'm saying. You can be seated. What about our host team? This includes our parking, our bistro, our VIP table, those who help make sure we have VIP experience. All right, amen. Our media teams. Media teams. That's Dale, Brian. You're not getting out of it. We're going to clap until you stand. There you go, Brian. Awesome. Thank you, guys. Our worship teams. Where's our worship team? Where's the rest of them? Big Tony's up there. Kristen's over here. Kevin's around here somewhere. All right, our life groups. If you lead a life group or a host for a life group, please stand. All right. And how about My Brother's Keeper? If you serve every month at My Brother's Keeper, please stand. All right, let's give him a hand. I'd like to ask our elders to come down to the front, or our leadership team, as they come down to the front. And while they're coming down to the front, there's another group I'd like to recognize. Would the wives of the leadership team please stand? Of course, Tony's already standing. Kristen, where's Julia? Julia and Amy? The leaders may sacrifice, but the wives sacrifice more, because they have to share all of us with all of y'all. I'm going to use that word. And so we want to recognize our wives today and give them a hand for all that they do and making us better leaders. Amen. And so with this today, because this is the gift-giving season, and this is the time to be generous, and because we appreciate all of our volunteers, we have gifts for all of you. And so we're going to call your name, and when we call your name, we're going to ask you to come down here and receive your gift. And if you would, join me today, and as people are coming down, let's just make this the loudest place in Clio, okay? So the first volunteer we have is Lindy Boyteen. Lindy, is she in the room? They come down the high five line. Come on. All right, next is Todd Boyteen. Is Todd in the house? Come on, Todd. Yep. Brandon Bonacy. Is Brandon Bonacy in the house today? Come on down, Brandon. Let me just hand those out. Next is Dale Bonacy. Dale. Come on down. Emmerine Bonacy. Thanks, sir. So much. Kenneth, where's Kenneth? Now I'm going to say something about Kenneth, wherever he is, if he's in the room. Kenneth, I don't think, has ever missed a Sunday.
Nope.
Never. Since we've launched. I think he's more faithful than even I am. So, Kenneth, we really appreciate you if he's here, coming down. All right. Emma Cassidy. Where's Emma? Emma helps serves in our nursery. Sydney Cassidy, with an E. Sydney, come on down. Josh Conley, where you at, buddy? Josh Conley, otherwise known as the V-Life Ninja and the parking lot coordinator. Julie Conley, come on down. Kevin Conley, come on down, Kevin. All right. Are the Deatons here today? Jody Deaton, come on down. We'll see if he's strong enough, because I think he has all my kids in his lap. Greg Fiak, come on down. Jeff Fiak, come on down. Jake Fiak, come on down. We got the Franks in the back, and Shirley, you can get Jeff's. Shirley and Jeff Frank, come on down. Merry Christmas. Are the Gorons in the house? Mark and Megan Goron. And Miss Peggy Gale, I see you back there. Come on down, Miss Peggy. Alicia Head, Alicia, you here today? Come on down. Brittany Hendricks. And Joshua Hendricks. Is Bryce here today? Bryce Houston. Come on down. Michael Lucchese, is Michael here today? Or any of the Lucchese clan? Merry Christmas, thank you. All right, we'll hold on to theirs and maybe it won't get spent before he gets back. All right, Virginia Madison. Where's Miss Virginia? Come on down. The Moyers, Chris and Katie Moyer. John and Rochelle Nyhaus. Come on down. Hey, Bryce. Thanks for all your help. Pam and Robert Pepin. We're here today? Okay. Cassandra Rogers. Come on down. And Aaron Rogers. And Brian Roy. Where are you, Brian? Is Nina Simpson here today? Nina, well, we'll give her a hand clap anyway. She's in spirit. Nina Simpson. Stephanie Smith. Come on down. I feel like the price is right today. Dina and Rick Tanner. Are the Tanners here? All right, well, then we'll send them home with family. Hi. Scarlett Tanner. Is Scarlett in the house today? All right, thank you, Scarlett. Jenny Tapia. Louise Tucker. Is Louise here today? Arliana Ermetz. Brian Ermetz. Cassandra Ermetz. And last but not least, Jocelyn. You got one down here for my brother's keeper. Come on down, Jocelyn. We just want to say thank you guys so much from the bottom of our heart. This church would go really badly if I was the only one to show up and do stuff. The kids would not look the same way and it would just be a mess. So thank you so much for all you do and making this year an incredible year. And I'm excited for what God has in store for this next year. Because I believe God has some big stuff getting ready to happen here at Vertical Life Church. And if we continue to work together to engage people where they are and lead them to becoming fully developed followers of Jesus Christ, I believe that we're going to see revival spill out in this place. So, amen. Amen. We are going to sing one more song. Let's stand up together, and we're going to sing, and we will be dismissed today.
Sorry. Well, welcome, everyone, to Vertical Life Church today. Good morning. I'm Jason Tanner. I'm the youth pastor here. At this time, I'd like to have the Henry family come up. I don't want to put, you know, Joy on the spot, Pastor Joy, but their family, you know, they do a ton for us. It's the zillion hours and hours and hours of work, sacrifice, incredible what they do for our church, the sacrifices they've made, and we're so excited to have them. A young, energetic family that has really energized our community. You can see the Holy Spirit working through them every day. Just amazing. Doing the worship service songs and the message is amazing to do both of those. I know it's very taxing, very time-consuming to do that. We just want to give you guys a gift from the Vertical Life family. They're this amazing family. I've got to know them at a previous stop, and it's just incredible, incredible family. To have four kids, I know I have three, it's taxing, four, I can't imagine. And everything they do, it's awesome, and we thank you guys so much.
Well, thank you, everyone. We really appreciate it from the bottom of our heart. And our passion is just to see Vertical Life Church do great things. So whatever it takes, right? Right. Amen. And I just believe that God is going to do some awesome things. We thank you so much.